Now, if you do have your Bible with you this morning, or you do have the intimation sheet before you, please do turn back to Mark chapter 14 as we look at this passage this morning. What a waste. I'm sure that we have probably said that once or twice in our lives. We say it to our children, don't we, or our grandchildren, when the meal we have lovingly prepared is discarded and put to one side, and they say to you, "I don't like it. I don't like what you've made." We say, "What a waste." We say it when we see a piece of furniture outside someone's house that's clearly meant for the council to pick up and discard, and it looks perfectly serviceable to us, and we think to ourselves, "What a waste." And we say it, don't we, when we see people who have a particular talent or ability ending up doing a job which we think is well below what we think their capability is. And we think to ourselves, what a waste. That person could have done so much in their life. What a waste that they're doing what they're doing now. In our passage today, we see Jesus at a meal at the home of someone called Simon the leper in Bethany. We don't know who Simon the leper is, but perhaps he is somebody that Jesus has healed from leprosy. And during this meal, there are some around the table who declare, "What a waste." And they're not referring to the food. Because as they are all reclining around the table, there is this woman who comes into the house of Simon the leper. We don't know who it is from this gospel, though. From the version in John's Gospel in John chapter 12, it would suggest it's probably Mary Magdalene. And as Jesus is there reclining at the table, because that's what they did in those days, reclining at the table with others, this woman, probably Mary, comes up and she breaks an alabaster jar of pure nard and she pours it over Jesus' head. And you can just imagine the scene, can't you? Everyone around the table reclining, and there's Jesus, and then this woman just comes in. She's got this jar and she breaks it open and she puts all this perfume over Jesus' head. You can imagine the aroma, can't you, that's come out. Now clearly this perfume, pure nard, was expensive. The nard plant grows in the Himalayas, and the root and flower stem are fragrant. And it would probably have been imported into Israel by the Phoenicians. And so this perfume is very precious and very expensive. It was worth, as it probably says in your footnote, if you're using the Pew Bible this morning, it was worth 300 denarii, more than a year's wages. A year's wages. And as this jar, this alabaster jar, is broken, and the perfume is poured on Jesus' head, some who are present say indignantly, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." Now, at face value, we might have some sympathy with that point of view. After all, imagine, for example, that you were having a family meal, a celebration, perhaps someone's birthday or an anniversary. And imagine that someone came into that meal as you're sitting round the table together and they brought in a rare, expensive perfume worth 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 pounds. Can you imagine? And they crack it open. You're probably thinking, "Oh, that's terrible. What are they doing? Are they out of their mind?" You might be thinking to yourself, could they not have sold that and use the money rather than wasting it? Could they not have, you know, sold this perfume and used the money towards a house or a car or whatever? And here in this passage, there's even the noble suggestion, isn't there? Could this perfume not have been sold and the proceeds used for the poor? Imagine what such a sum of money could have done for the poor. And we might sympathise with that point of view. And we might be surprised that Jesus doesn't say to Mary, "Quick, cork up the bottle and go and sell it. That perfume's worth a load of money. Do you not realize that, Mary? But he doesn't, does he? He doesn't do that. Unlike the others at the table, Jesus does not rebuke Mary. And those at the table rebuke her harshly. That's what it says in the passage. Instead, Jesus calls those around the table to leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing to me. That's what Jesus says. The poor you'll always have with you. You can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. Now, when we hear those words coming from Jesus' lips, we might be surprised. After all, is that not quite self-centered, thinking about himself rather than thinking about the poor? What's going on here? Why does Jesus not rebuke Mary? Well, there are at least two reasons here. Firstly, we have to be aware when this took place. This was 2 days before the Passover, the Tuesday before Jesus would be crucified on the Friday. And Jesus was very aware that he was going to the cross at Calvary. And what happens to him here at this meal is symbolic. And it's like a bookend to what happened to him when he was born. Remember when Jesus was born? He was born where the animals were kept, commonly thought to be a stable, but probably a cave. And remember when Jesus was later taken to the house that they had some visitors? 3, probably, wise men. And what gifts did they bring? They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. What was the use of myrrh? Myrrh was a surprising gift. Well, John 19 tells us, because Jesus' body, when it was taken down from the cross, was anointed with myrrh and other spices before his body was placed in the tomb. And here, in this story, Jesus is anointed with perfume, almost like a precursor to his burial. And so this is a symbolic moment because Jesus is about to die. He's about to lay down his life at the cross. And that's the first reason that Jesus doesn't rebuke Mary. Because Jesus knows where he's going. He knows on the Friday he's going to die. The second reason Jesus doesn't rebuke Mary is because Jesus recognizes that what Mary does is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Mary could have sold the perfume for a profit. She doesn't. She could have sold the perfume and given the money to the poor. She doesn't. What does she do? She takes this very expensive perfume. She breaks it open. She pours it over Jesus' head. Why does she do this? It's an act of devotion. Mary recognizes who Jesus is. She recognizes that Jesus is worth it. He's worth it. So many other worthy things she could have done with the perfume, but she chooses to break it over Jesus' head because he is worth it. Beyond anyone else, beyond anything else, he is worth it. And she recognizes it, and she shows her utmost devotion. You see, out of everyone else there, Mary's the one who gets it right. You see, there are some there who are grumbling. This could have been sold for the poor. Judas is so appalled that he's away to arrange someone to betray Jesus. Well, he's going to betray Jesus to the authorities. But Mary has it right. She puts Jesus first. She shows her love for him. She doesn't think of the cost, even though this perfume was hugely expensive. She isn't distracted by albeit worthy things around her. Her focus utterly upon Jesus. Utterly upon Jesus. And the question for each one of us today is this: are we utterly focused upon Jesus? Do we show him such wholehearted devotion? You see, notice that Mary doesn't keep anything back. There's no note of her taking half the perfume home with her again. The perfume was used up. It was used up on Jesus. Wholehearted devotion. Nothing lukewarm about Mary here. Nothing. Are we wholehearted in the same way towards Jesus. You see, if we read this passage today, and we end up agreeing with those who were at the table, who were mumping and moaning, and saying this is a waste, then we probably don't fully understand, one, who Jesus is, and two, all that Jesus is about to do. You see, if we truly understand who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, then we cannot be lukewarm about him. If we understand that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might come into the presence of a holy God, Almighty God, then we cannot be lukewarm about him. Instead, we ought to be like those on the Emmaus Road. Remember on the day of resurrection, Easter Sunday? Remember there were those two disciples who were walking towards Emmaus, downcast, thinking through all that had happened to Jesus, Jesus who had died on the Friday? Had they been told by some woman that Jesus had possibly risen? They were confused. They didn't know what was happening. And remember, as they walked in that road, they were joined by this stranger. And we know, but they don't know, that this is the risen Jesus. And remember when it's revealed to them, it's Jesus who's been with them as he breaks the bread. Remember what they say? They say, see, when Jesus was with us on that Emmaus road, explaining the scriptures, explaining all the scriptures which had been about him, how our hearts burned within us. There's passion there, isn't there? It's not lukewarm. They're so excited. You see, if they'd been lukewarm, they would have just stayed overnight at Emmaus. What do? They walked all that way, 7 miles or so. They walked all the way back again to Jerusalem. So excited were they. You see, we ought to be like Mary. You see, her devotion to Jesus is not forced. She doesn't come with her perfume because Jesus has been in her house saying, you know, that perfume looks pretty good, will you bring it? Will you just anoint me with it? You know, that really expect. I love the look of that perfume. She comes of her own free will. She comes gladly. She comes freely. She comes willingly because she wants to show Jesus how much he means to her. He is everything. Is that our perspective this morning? Do we truly put him before all other things? You see, this is quite a surprising passage, isn't it? Because somehow you look at it, you think, well, does Jesus not care about the poor? In other places, you know Jesus cares about the poor. But he understands what's happening here. He understands he is worthy. He is everything. Is that our perspective today? Now, this Sunday has been set apart for us to think about stewardship. Each year in the church, we are required to think about stewardship, the stewardship of our time, our talents, and money within the church. And this year, specifically, it is money that we are thinking about. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to stewardship, and especially money, my heart sinks. And maybe yours does too, because it's difficult to avoid it looking like the church is always asking for money. But I want to say to you this morning that actually stewardship is about using the resources that we have and using them well for God's glory. And it's always with God in mind that we are to give. And we are to give according to what we have. That's why tithing and giving a percentage of what we have is a good way to go, because it goes up and down according to what we have. And we are to give, not out of compulsion, but out of glad hearts and grateful hearts, because God loves a cheerful giver. He has been so rich towards us. That's what Mary understood. She understood who Jesus was. She understood all that Jesus had done. And therefore, she saw this perfume being given over to him and anointing him with this perfume as no big thing. It was a small thing done because she recognized how much Jesus had done for her. God loves a cheerful giver. He's been so rich towards us. Should we not also be rich towards him? And he uses the church as an instrument in the world to share the good news of the gospel, to proclaim the truth, that others too might come into the kingdom. So simply ask you this morning to reflect on Jesus, to reflect on all he is, all he has done, to reflect on your giving. Does it flow from a glad heart? Should you give more? Should you give less? Could you gift aid what you give already? There are gift aid forms that John Coy has left at the table at the back. You see, Mary saw that Jesus was worthy. Do we? Do we realize that having Jesus in our lives is greater than all the riches in the world, greater than anything we could own? What is it that Job says? Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will depart. We can't take what we have with us, can we? Therefore, the most important thing is faith and trust in Jesus and building up our treasure in heaven. Is that not what Jesus talks about? Jesus is worthy. Do we truly believe that today? The greatest thing that we could ever know, the greatest person we could ever know, someone who thrills our hearts with him. And if we truly believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he is our Savior, that he has paid for my sins, will we not be generous towards him? What is it that the hymn says? All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all. You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. When you look at this story this morning, who are you? Are you Mary, coming before Jesus with a glad and a grateful heart, willing even to anoint Jesus with this expensive perfume? Or are you those who are reclined around the table, mumping, moaning, this could have been sold to give to the poor? It's a worthy thing, but Jesus is more worthy. That's the point. Are we willing to be rich towards the Lord? Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And especially we thank you for Mary's wholehearted devotion. She was so grateful for all that Jesus had done for her. So grateful for all that Jesus was and is, that she wanted to show her devotion to him. And she took this expensive perfume and she poured it over Jesus' head. And what a wonderful picture it is for us. Loving Lord God, as we search our own hearts this morning, we pray that we would also be people of wholehearted devotion, that we would not be lukewarm in our faith, holding things back from you. But Lord God, as we understand all that you are Almighty God, the Creator God, the Sustainer God, the Redeemer God, that you are the one who sent Jesus into the world as a Savior of the world, our Savior, the one who pays for our sins, that we too might be a people of wholehearted devotion. Lord God, we thank you that you call us to be good stewards of all that we have. And we thank you for all your blessings that you shower down upon us. And we pray, Lord God, that we would not be ungrateful, but rather we would be rich towards you in all that we give towards you in a material sense, but also in terms of our time and our talents too. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are part of the church, the local church here in West Kilbride, the national church in Scotland, but also the church all around the world. We thank you for the privilege of being part of the church. And we thank you, Lord God, that you give us brothers and sisters together to go and to share the good news of the gospel, that the church is your instrument in the world to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the truth in a dark and needy world. And we pray that we would have the resources to do exactly that. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this day. And we pray that you would bring it home to our hearts. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.